You're listening to the Free to Be Mindful podcast, which invites you along on a journey to learn of mindful living, grow in mental health, and inspire through personal growth. In a world where we can often feel much stress and overwhelm, this podcast provides bite-sized tips and real talk conversations, empowering you to embrace mindfulness and nurture your full potential. I'm your host, Vanessa De Jesus Guzman, educator, licensed professional counselor, entrepreneur, and mom. I'm passionate about helping others live life with peace of mind and ease of heart without losing their, well, you know. Here we go. Hello and welcome to episode 188 of the Free to Be Mindful podcast. I hope that you're feeling good, looking good, and doing better in this world than you were yesterday. I'm recording this podcast just a few days before it's actually released. And this day today is March 8th, which just so happens to be International Women's Day, which is a global day dedicated to celebrate women and all of their accomplishments. It's also the day that we bring attention to any issues of gender inequality that still exists. International Women's Day brings to light the core values of progress, the importance of social, economic, political, and cultural justice, and the strength and bravery of diverse women from all backgrounds and areas of life, which obviously I'm biased, but as a woman raising a preteen, pregnant with another one, planning a baby shower, running two businesses, serving as a president of a statewide association, and being surrounded by badass women out there, I can say firsthand that being a woman is truly a superpower. Truly, truly is. Now, there is a small asterisk to that. Because is this superpower always done to 100%? The answer is no, not always. Can we do it all at the same time? Definitely not. Can we do it all by ourselves without help? Speaking for myself, I will say absolutely not. It totally takes a village, not only to raise a child, but also to raise a business. And is it always done without big feelings? No, it's not, because after all, we're all human. But we do love doing it nonetheless. Again, speaking for myself, I truly love what I do. And it's interesting because as a kid, I never really imagined myself doing all the things that I do now. Honestly, I just always wanted to be a teacher and a mom, both of which I did achieve, except in college when I also wanted to be on TV. But I also achieved that, being on the Today Show and in Univision, and now I get to share space with you via YouTube and other social media channels, so that can be checked off the list too. But when I was a little kid playing with Barbies, which I did up until middle school or so, I never really could picture the life that I'm living now. And speaking of Barbies, funny enough, March 9th is National Barbie Day, because you know there's a day for just about everything. And being that we're talking about International Women's Day and Barbie's Day, and being that March 10th, 2024 is the Oscars, it definitely makes me think about the Barbie movie, which has grossed over $1.4 billion. We'll see how they do on Oscar night. And I was definitely a contributor to that amount, as I did go to see the movie in the summer of 2023 with my girlfriends. And yes, I did wear pink too. Not that I'm a movie critic, but there were ups and downs to the movie. I did overall like it, but I didn't really like the way that it ended. But I do think that Margot Robbie gave an amazing performance. And I loved, and I mean loved, the profound message of the movie, which was the underlying story of the reality of womanhood, what we're talking about today. And my favorite part was America Ferrera's monologue. For those who haven't watched, I'd like to read it to you. And for those who have watched it, enjoy this piece once again. Hopefully I do it justice. And I quote, "It is literally impossible to be a woman. You're so beautiful and so smart, and it kills me that you don't even think you're good enough. Like, we have to always be extraordinary, but somehow we're always doing it wrong. You have to be thin, but not too thin. You can never say that you want to be thin. You have to say that you want to be healthy, but you also have to be thin. You have to have money, but you can't ask for money because that's crass. You have to be a boss, but you can't be mean. You have to lead, but you can't squash other people's ideas. You're supposed to love being a mother, but don't talk about your kids all the damn time. You have to be a career woman, but also always be looking out for other people. You have to answer for men's bad behavior, which is insane, but if you point that out, you're accused of complaining. You're supposed to stay pretty for men, but not so pretty that you tempt them too much or that you threaten other women because you're supposed to be a part of the sisterhood. But always stand out and always be grateful, but never forget the system is rigged. So find a way to acknowledge that, but also always be grateful. You have to never get old, never be rude, never show off, never be selfish, never fall down, never fail, never show fear, never get out of line. And it's too hard. It's too contradictory, and nobody gives you a medal or ever says thank you. And it turns out, in fact, that not only are you doing everything wrong, but also everything's your fault. I'm just so tired of watching myself and every single woman out there tie herself into knots so that other people will like us. And if all of that is also true for a doll just representing women, then I don't even know. End quote. I love it. Do you see what I mean? Again, I probably didn't do it justice, but hopefully you got the gist. There's just so many beautiful things to being a woman. And there are just so many things to being a woman. Womanhood encompasses motherhood. It symbolizes discovery. It embodies love. And being a woman embraces glamour, girl bossing, and growth. But with all that, with all the positive impacts that women have made across a variety of roles, fields, relationships, and all the inspirational stories, there also comes the obstacles and the realization that there's an existence of a glass ceiling. I first became familiar with the concept of a glass ceiling in college. This concept was popularized around the late 20th century to describe the invisible barriers that prevent women and minorities from advancing in the workplace. And the term was first coined in the 1970s or so. Skeptics may think that this concept is made up, but there are a lot of statistics that just back it up. About 40% of women born in America in 1985 hold college degrees compared to just 30% of men. Yet, women's educational advantage has not led to higher pay. And one reason for the pay gap is that college-educated women, more often than men, avoid majors that lead to higher earning occupations. And the fact is still true according to 2022 statistics. Women in the United States hold a higher percentage of college degrees still than compared to men. However, and this is a big however, according to Chicago Booth professor Marianne Bertrand, there are two aspects that really don't help this cause along with the one I just stated. The first is that there are many psychological differences between men and women, such as women are more risk averse than men are. And this comes into play because a willingness to take risks helps employees compete for higher paying jobs and negotiate higher salaries. And one may argue, is this nature or is this nurture? Perhaps men are just born with different attitudes than women are. Or maybe, just maybe, we're bred to think differently. And from a personal standpoint, I don't have too much an opinion on the risk aversion situation. However, I do have a huge opinion about this Chicago Booth professor's third aspect, which is that the demands for childcare, housework, and other life chores outside of work usually, typically, fall heavier on women more than they do on men. Higher paying occupations are more inflexible and require more of a time commitment. And women have a harder time with this inflexibility because they remain disproportionately responsible for taking care of the home, including raising the children. And it's interesting that what I just quoted, this research was done around 1990s to early 2000s. But fast forward 20, 30 years later, we saw what the pandemic did to our families, especially to women. When compared to men, women were largely and disproportionately affected by job losses and economic hardships. With the closure of schools and daycare facilities, there were increased care responsibilities, having women typically take over the additional caregiving responsibilities, including looking over the kids doing their schoolwork or homeschooling, which put a strain on women's ability to then balance work and family responsibilities, and often leading to reduced work hours or even leaving the workforce altogether. And of course, there were mental health challenges for everybody. Everyone was affected by this, but it did hit women hard because of all the extra responsibilities. And because of all the extra home stuff and the extra work stuff, there was also disruption of career progression. And on top of all that, everything was just exacerbated of existing inequalities, meaning that everything that once stood, including gender inequalities in society, including the gender pay gap, unequal division of household labor, and limited access to childcare and supported services, all of these things were just amplified. But despite all of this adversity, women have demonstrated remarkable resilience and perseverance in the face of the pandemic challenges. And I'm including myself in this. We have shown incredible strength in balancing caregiver responsibilities, remote work, and overall personal well-being. We've adapted to new circumstances with ingenuity and determination and finding creative solutions to navigate the obstacles in their paths. It's our resilience that serves as a testament to the power of women's leadership and solidarity in times of crisis, inspiring hope for a brighter and more equitable future. And as I listen to myself speak, I think that this podcast is slowly becoming my love letter to women. But I'm here for it because we as women are highly capable and responsible for so many success stories, from work life to motherhood to just celebrating incredible trajectories and backgrounds. Women deserve to step into power and into roles of leadership. I mean, we're already CEOs of our households. We can definitely become leaders and CEOs outside of our homes as well. And as a successful woman CEO of a small business with absolutely no business education other than listening to business podcasts and reading business books, I'm here to tell you that you can do this. Now, maybe your goal isn't to become a CEO, but maybe it's to ask for a raise or to start a side hustle, to write a book, to start a new hobby, to learn a new trade. Whatever it is, I'm here to tell you that it is indeed possible. But going back to where we started and to keeping it real, does that mean that you can have it all at the same time? Maybe not. And this is what I mean. Going back to the Barbie example, we see this concept of enough versus not enough. And although we want the ability to step into positions of power and we are passionate about leading the way for generations to come, sometimes we have to know that it's okay to not do it all at the same time. I've shared many of the things that I'm involved in, but that doesn't come at a cost, meaning I only cook dinner 1 to 2 times a week, if that. And I literally pay the cost of having a cleaning lady, which sounds bad when I say it like that, but it is a monetary cost that I put forth. However, I see it as totally worth it because as a therapist, as a CEO, as a co-founder and business partner of another business, as a podcast host and public speaker, I'd rather spend half of my day working than spending half of my day cleaning and wondering when I'm going to have the time to make up all the work that I have to do. And while all of these examples of how I make it work, know that also sometimes things just don't work. For example, sometimes the laundry stays on top of the bed because at the end of a long day, when I actually have the time to put it away, I'm just tired. Sometimes the dishes do pile up in the sink because, well, because I don't like washing dishes and I'd rather work. Sometimes I pass on social opportunities or opportunities to go salsa dancing, which I love. But because by the time it rolls around, I'm just so tired. I'm happy for the choices I'm making, but I'm just physically tired. But I do not sacrifice spending time connecting with my son and my husband at the end of the day. And I do not sacrifice getting a manicure or going for a massage because I know that I need that self-care in order to keep my mind right. Because when it comes time to it, it's all about balance. And I don't mean a balance of doing it all at the same time, because that is probably impossible. But what I do mean is a balance of doing what we can and feeling enough. The hardest thing of all that was letting go of my expectations for myself, which is hard. It's hard when I want to do all the things and all the things right now. But instead, I had to let go of that and embrace the concept of mindful living, meaning to embrace acceptance, knowing that because I chose to postpone some goals because it wasn't a good time, doesn't mean that I'm not enough. And knowing that it is okay to simply just exist sometimes and to celebrate your living experience, which it does include the ups and the downs, and giving grace to yourself through these mistakes. And it's because of my own personal journey and my passions and the personal growth that I have come across that I've created a 6-week therapy group called Free to Be Mindful from Bump to Birth. And this is specifically for expecting and new moms with babies 6 months and younger. I know what it's like to want to do it all and put so much energy into work and into other things that sometimes we do forget to experience giving time and space to our biggest superpower, which is bringing life into this world. This is a virtual and in-person group, and it'll be held on Thursdays for 6 weeks beginning in April. If you want to show up differently as a woman and learn how to be the best mom you can be to your growing family and the best person you can be to yourself, I invite you to go to freetobemindful.com/bump to birth. This will be linked in the show notes for you as well. And if you know someone that can benefit from this, please be sure to share it with them too. And so we were just talking about changing the mindset of still being enough, but knowing that you don't have to do all the things all the time. And does this mindset happen overnight? Absolutely not. There was a lot of time, energy, journaling, and therapy sessions that went into and continue to go into making this mind shift possible. But if I can do it, my friends, you can do it too. So here are a few easy steps to help you get started on making this mindset shift and to help you remember your own self-worth. The first is share your voice. Don't be afraid to speak up for what's right or what's wrong. Know that your words hold value, whether it's in a professional setting or even in a personal setting. The second tip, acknowledge the complexity of womanhood. Know that having a bad day, a disagreement, or strong emotion does not make you unworthy of love or show a lack of character. You're not a bad mom or bad partner or any of the labels that you may place on yourself. The third, create a new meaning of being enough. Know you are beyond someone's expectations of what you should be, of how you should act, and what you should look like, and not just someone else's expectations, but your own as well. It's not about our achievements or the material value. Being enough means removing societal expectations and reminding yourself that there is beauty in imperfections. The fourth, cultivate unconditional self-love. The emphasis is on the unconditional part here, which means give yourself the love that your inner child deserves and the love that you give to your children and to the outside world. And the fifth, do things that help heal you. This can be from the relationships you share, to therapy, to affirmations, to working out, to simply just enjoying some you time. Engage in mindful living and build a better relationship with yourself and those around you. So from the women in our history that fought for women's rights, to the women in our lives that bring out the best of us in the present moment, to all the roles that they play, our mothers, our teachers, lawyers, therapists, CEOs, doctors, friends, strangers, my friends, know that we are enough. We will sometimes say things that will make us feel loved, and we will sometimes say things that others do not like. But we do not have to fit a mold. We don't have to smile through a facade. Know that you are absolutely amazing and you are worthy. And are you capable of doing absolutely amazing things? Yes, 110% yes. But that doesn't mean that we have to do it all. And if we do, it doesn't mean that we also can't have our bad days or admit struggles along the way or ask for help. We are enough, enough to be loved, enough to be successful, enough to be celebrated, enough to be chosen. And my friends, enough to simply be. So, right now, regardless of where you are or what you're doing, take a breath and just let that message resonate with you. Let it simmer in your thoughts. And if you do identify as a woman or as someone who has been impacted by an important woman in your life, whether it be a partner, caretaker, friend, think of some of the positive traits that you would use to describe these important women in your lives. There's so many to choose from. Maybe it's care and positivity. Maybe it's ambition. Maybe it's resilience or the ability to try again, making others feel seen and be heard. And then think about the times that maybe you haven't felt this way, when you've been made to feel as though you are too much. When you've been made to shrink and be small, when you've been made perhaps to feel as though you aren't enough. There are stereotypes, expectations, and battles that can stand in this way, making it harder to see the light at the end of the tunnel. But as you take the next breath, say to yourself, I am enough, because we are good enough. Know that we can defy expectations of perfection and know that at any point we can create our own enough. And as always, know that in a world where you are free to be anything that you want to be, you are always free to be mindful. Catch you next week.